Welcome back to Chattering Mist. We still have Glenn on the line, and I want to give Glenn the opportunity to comment on what was a gut-wrenching interview.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Glenn. Go ahead.
I was surprised to hear Scott ask why they sent him back, because I know he knows the answer.
Yes,
they sent him back for the same reason Captain Picard sent the Borg named Hugh back to the Borg mothership, so that he could infect it with the ideology.
Correct, yeah. And one of the things with the most adroit conclusion from the evidence, well, there's a number of possibilities. The one indisputable reason is that here are a bunch of Kurd boys that are kidnapped. They're all taught Islam. They're all given a crash course on the Islamic State. This kid clearly, wholeheartedly, adopts the Islamic State's position. And he's released and allowed to go back to his family. Those who didn't are still hanging from the ceiling and still being electrocuted. So if you're a Kurd and you're fighting for your survival, you're a fellow Muslim. If you decide, you know, maybe we should just join the Islamic State and work along with them for a Kurdistan and fight the Turks, for example, and the Shia Muslims who have oppressed us over the years, maybe we should join them, because if we fight them, we're going to be tortured and die, and if we join them, we'll be allowed to live. I mean, that's the primary message that this young boy conveys.
Right. And looking at the young boy, it's amazing how much more quickly Stockholm Syndrome can be induced if you use just the right amount of fear.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and he was tortured, but not much. And very modestly tortured. So it wasn't, you know, Stockholm Syndrome is typically you abuse someone, and then when you stop abusing them, the cessation in abuse is viewed as mercy. And so the victim begins to identify with the perpetrator when the perpetrator abuses them to a point and then stops abusing them, because then they appear to be merciful. So this wasn't entirely Stockholm Syndrome. Some of this was just religious indoctrination. But there was some Stockholm Syndrome involved here, where he was beaten, and the cessation of torture is the basis of the Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, similar to military basic training, only a little more violent. You know, one thing, I'll give the Islamic State this. They have a tendency to do what they say they're going to do, as opposed to the West, because I'm watching RT television, and I'm seeing these IS tanks attacking Kobani, and I'm thinking, where the bleep are the A-10s?
Right. Well, I think didn't we decommission the A-10s?
They tried it once before. And it's such a unique aircraft.
You know, but the problem with the A-10, A-10 for those that don't know military jargon, and if you don't know it, it's no disgrace. I'm almost embarrassed that I know the answer to this, because I'm not a proponent of our military. But the A-10 is a close combat support anti-tank airplane that's called the Warthog. Or a derivation of it. It's called the Warthog. It is a really ugly airplane. It flies very slow. It typically they typically paint on the shark's teeth or lion's teeth that is common among World War II fighters on the nose of the airplane. The reason that the A-10, though, it has been either mothballed or is close to being mothballed is two. One is that there really isn't a significant tank threat in the world today. Tanks are just sitting ducks.
Right.
And so since there are so many means to take out tanks, that the A-10's mission has been negated. It was an airplane for a different time and a different battle, a battle that really never got fought. And the second reason is that early on in the Iraq invasion by America, the most lethal killer of Americans were Americans in A-10s. the Gatling gun in the A-10 in close combat mowed down Americans. And we had so many deaths that the military told the families were result of them dying in combat fighting the enemy, when in fact there was no Iraqi military. The Iraqi military never once engaged, and the carnage was created by American A-10s and the Gatling guns in the nose of those airplanes. And so internally it became a real embarrassment.
In terms of a unique low and slow, it can make over 300 miles an hour, but yes, it's subsonic. But, whether or not I'm a proponent of any specific military action, if you talk to guys on the ground who've had those things come in and, knock back an encroaching enemy, they say there's a real sense of security when those things come over.
Long as they're not shooting you.
Yeah.
I mean, a huge percentage of the Afghan and Iraqi fatalities were friendly fire, and a lot of them were A-10 related. The big point that you raise is that the Islamic State was fairly stale in the weeks prior to America announcing that it was going to go to war against it. Their last victory prior to America announcing it was going to go to war against it was actually against the Syrian army. They took over a large Syrian military base. So they were successful in driving back Assad and his troops. And that was their last significant battle prior to America declaring war on. Since that time, the Islamic State is probably three times larger than they were. They're considerably better armed and more popular than they were. They're much richer than they previously were. And they have had innumerable successes since that time. And their principal foe has been the Kurds. Since the Kurds stood up and said, give us weapons that we can attack the Islamic State, and we did, and we'll be the boots on the ground. Our embrace death troops will be the boots on the ground for you. Since that time, the Kurds have really taken it on the chin. And the Islamic State has had just a series of victories. And, here we are as America. We're bombing our own equipment. And the tanks that they're using are American tanks.
And we just dropped them some fresh supplies. We dropped a load of weapons and supplies that were intended for Syrian, moderate Syrians, supposedly, to the IS. Well, that was a great one.
Of course. Well, because there are no moderates. There are no moderate jihadists. There are no moderate rebels. There never have been. There never will be. And what this has done, particularly since in that first night of bombing, the United States didn't just bomb the Islamic State, but also bombed the Jabhat Nusra, the Victory Front, which was the other fundamentalist Islamic group opposed to Assad. They have all but joined. I mean, the most recent articles say that all of the senior commanders now of al-Nusra are declaring their loyalty to the Islamic State. So the only foe that the Islamic State had that was a formidable foe is gone. They've now merged with the Islamic State. Everything we did was counterproductive. It's exactly as I said it would be the day the president announced that he was going to declare war on them following his round of golf followed the fake video on the beheading of journalist Foley. It's where we found ourselves. Totally and completely predictable. And part of it's because this president wants to convince the world that Islam is a wonderful, loving, and peaceful religion, and that the Islamic State is a violent extremist group. And you can put them in the same mold as a Christian violent extremist group. They're just violent extremists, and the world needs to be rid of violent extremists so that the great religion of Islam can prosper, triumph. That kind of muddled, disastrous, duplicitous, immoral message is where we find ourselves. So,
and I'm not really surprised at any of this. I keep thinking of several things. And, you know, one thing is I keep thinking about the Magog battle, Ezekiel 38-39, where we are eventually going. And if you look at the reference in there to Tarshish and the young lions thereof, sitting on the sidelines and inquiring of them as they come down against Israel, what are you doing? You know, it doesn't say that they're going to battle against them. They sit there ineffectually on the sidelines saying, what are you doing? Are you come to take a spoil? Da, da, da. Well, Tarshish is generally recognized to be the British Isles, and the young lions thereof would be like British colonies, the English-speaking world, which is going to include the U.S., probably NATO, sitting there going, not doing anything, but merely saying, what you doing, guys?
Yeah, and, Tarshish is explained as the references to them are their merchants, their traders, their world powers, but they're not engaged in the battle. Sitting there. They're stunned. They're ignorant. They're irrational, and so they're asking stupid questions while Muslims by the hundreds of millions are trying to ravage Israel, and they're saying, "Huh, gee." What are you doing? I mean, if you were building homes, we would be able to condemn you, but you're not building homes. So what are you out to accomplish there, Muslim fellows?
And Sheba and Dedan, which is Saudi Arabia and the oil emirates either. So they're all sitting, you know, so it looks like the English-speaking world, the OPEC nations, and the NATO are just sitting there with their hands going, you know, what are you doing? They're not helping, but they're asking.
No, that's correct. Yeah, this is the Magog War is an all-Islamic assault against Israel. And there are some non-players. It appears that Saudi Arabia is essentially a non-player. And it's all because Saudi Arabia is not a country. It's a personal estate. And the estate owners, the royal thugs of Saudi Arabia, want to enrich the terrorists. They want to indoctrinate Islamic terrorists. They want to be considered the heartland and the soul of Islam. But their primary goal in life is to enrich themselves and to indulge themselves. And war is not enriching. So the Abominator, in his UN address, said that we have reaffirmed. Now, I don't know who we is. When he speaks of we, this collective royal we, it's kind of like Muhammad in the Quran. We say this, we say that. It's as if is he speaks for the country when he doesn't. Have reaffirmed that the United States is not and never will be at war with Islam. So you declare war on the Islamic State and you're not at war with Islam. And the man's not impeached. I mean, war is a really deadly game. It's extraordinarily expensive, extraordinarily deadly. It's destructive. You can declare war on the Islamic State and not be at war with Islam, and you tell the United Nations that, and that kind of a lie on something that deadly, that expensive, that destructive is not the grounds for being exposed, being condemned, being impeached. And what is? I question. If you can make a statement that dishonest on an issue this expensive, this destructive, and this deadly, then what would you have to say to actually be held accountable? Then he says, Islam teaches peace. Never has, never will. It's a complete and utter lie. He knows it's a complete and utter lie. Muhammad said, I've become victorious with terrorism. The first year of the Islamic era, it begins with the Pledge of Aqaba, which is a war on all humankind. The last nine surahs of the Quran, chronologically, which would be the first nine, are all a declaration of war on everyone. The Quran never teaches peace, ever. Muhammad never taught peace, ever. The Quran defines a peaceful Muslim as an absolute hypocrite. and tells the good jihadist warlike Muslims to kill them so Allah can teach them in hell. Islam teaches that peace is not Islamic. There's one peace treaty in Islam. Muhammad signs the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, where he pledges to live at peace with his hometown of Mecca for 10 years. The following year, he renounces that treaty and attacks Mecca. So the only peace treaty in all of Islam is renounced. Read the ninth surah. And Islam goes on the warpath. In the first 10 years of the Islamic era, Muhammad led and inspired 75 terrorist raids. And this a-hole, this ignoramus, this scumbag of a human being that America elected not once but twice to be its president, says that Islam teaches peace. He is just repulsive. And when you recognize that he is the head of the U.S. government, you ought to be ashamed if you're an American. And if you voted for him, you ought never vote again. You ought never express your political opinion again. You are so lost, so ignorant, so irrational, so grotesquely immoral. You ought to just keep to yourself. Muslim the world over aspire to live with dignity and a sense of justice. No, they don't. They aspire to establish Sharia law. There is no justice in Sharia law. Half the Muslim population is comprised of women. They have no dignity. There's no dignity amongst Muslim women. They're treated as animals. They have no rights whatsoever. Here, you have the right to wear a tent. Here, you have the right to be abused. Here, you have the right to have a man own you, to sell you, to rape you. That has never been the case. There is no dignity in this religion. There's no sense of justice. Open your eyes. Even if you're too damn lazy to read the Quran and Hadith, maybe simply watch the news. You want to see a sense of justice? That boy talked about it. Justice in Islam is killing and torturing and decapitating and cutting off the arms and the legs of infidels. That's Islamic justice. Now, if you think that's dignified, then you're one with the idiot that is the President of the United States. Shame on you. When we return, we'll continue to make our way through this man's lies as he spoke on behalf of America to the United Nations. I'm repulsed. I hope you are too. The moron that moronic Americans elected president not once but twice, showing that they're no better than he is, said when it comes to American Islam, there is no us and them. There is only us. They're part of the fabric of our country. Muslims are about 1% of the population of this country. At 1%, they are not us. You know, if you can't say that America is a Christian country, and you really shouldn't, and Christians represent a slight majority of the country, there is no way that you can say that Islam is integrated into the fabric of America with 1%. Moreover, Muslims very seldom integrate. Really bad Muslims integrate. I remember that back in my working days, I did some consulting work for a pair of Muslim brothers that owned a lighting company. They were about as Muslim as Mickey Mouse is a real person. Yeah, they came from Pakistan, so they brought some of their heritage with them, but they never once acted spoke, did anything that was the least bit Islamic. And so bad Muslims, Muslims who are just kind of cultured, I was born a Muslim, so I'm going to be a Muslim, and don't have a clue that Muhammad was a pervert and a mass murdering terrorist, that bad Muslims can be integrated. But all Muslims that are good Muslims, that are Muslims by the Quran's definition of Islam, never integrate. Ever. And because they do not integrate, they are not part of the fabric of America. They live in enclaves. You know, Detroit's one of them. There's another one in the Minnesota area. Another one in Central Florida. There's one outside of Washington, D.C. They band together. They live isolated. And they're opposed to the country. All good Muslims are treasonous when living in a non-Islamic country. 100% of good Muslims, those Muslims who do as they're ordered to do in the Quran and Hadith, who follow Muhammad's example as they are ordered to do by their God Allah, 100% of good Muslims are treasonous. They are the opposite of integrated, and therefore they are not the fabric of this country.
I would suggest it's possible that is precisely this influx of Muslims into America and places like Britain. Yeah, we now have Dearborn, Michigan being called Dearbornistan. People call London Londonistan.
Right.
You know, we have Muslims, calls to prayer for Muslim minarets competing with church bells in London, you know.
And a disproportionate of them, a number of them, are not only antagonistic towards the UK or towards the United States, but they're also on the dole. They're receiving all sorts of food stamps and housing assistance and economic benefit, and yet hate the country. And we have whole enclaves from Somalia, from the Sudan, from Yemen, from Pakistan. And it goes on and on and on. If you were to go right now to West L.A. and you witnessed the number of Muslims in West L.A. that came from Iran. Now, fortunately, many of them are really bad Muslims. And they hate the Ayatollah, who's a really good Muslim. But the fact is that the demographics of this country have changed here recently. It's still about 1%. But a lot of that is because America has imported them. And we ought not have done that. It's very much like importing Ebola.
Oh, yeah. It's very ridiculous. You've mentioned Iran. I was just thinking, I don't think Iran has quite the barbaric record of beheadings and amputations that Saudi Arabia has. It seems that
it's true. The religious police and the religious brutality and the royal ruling family's sadistic behavior in Saudi Arabia is probably the worst in the world. Now, Egypt's religious police is, and Turkey's, both the religious police in Turkey and Egypt are barbaric. But the religious police in Saudi Arabia are probably the worst of a bad lot. And most of the servants hired by the royal family are consistently abused. Their passports are stolen, the contracts are reneged, they're beaten, they're tortured, they're essentially enslaved.
A lot of Indians, aren't there?
It's just revolting how disgusting the royal family is of Saudi Arabia.
Oh, and contractors, contractors on work visas, supposed to be put up in decent dormitories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not confident, they're not paid, they're paid as themselves, they're not permitted to go home.
No. Muslims are scumbags. I mean, just the best Muslims treat everyone as scum. They don't honor business deals. They treat people as a lesser life form. They cheat. They're repulsive. I mean, Islam is a disgusting religion. And it's a disgusting religion because its lone founder was a disgusting human being. And the God of Islam, Allah, is Muhammad's alter ego. And so you've got one of the most perverted, disgusting, repulsive, violent, deadly, dishonest men who's ever lived in Muhammad. And he created a God in his own image. So we shouldn't be surprised that the best Muslims are hideous people.
Right. Well, an alter ego would be opposite in character. He's just a projection. You know?
Yeah.
But the it's just very disturbing to see all this. And I think this Western emphasis on political correctness and all this garbage about not wanting to, you know, offend anybody, I think it actually boils down to nothing less than actual just cowardice, because it seems to me that people are actually afraid of Islam, and they're not just, it's not just because they're being polite and they don't want to offend anybody or they
right.
think it's good. I think they're just scared deep down in the rich. They're scared.
Right.
So they resort to violence.
If you speak against, if you speak the truth against Islam, you're going to get countless death threats. If you tell the truth about Islam, they're going to do everything they can to make your life a living hell. If you're willing to expose Islam using their own scriptures, what you're going to find is Muslims trying to shut you down, attacking you. So, most people are afraid. But then a lot of people are bribed. Universities are bribed. The think tanks in Washington are bribed. Politicians are bribed. Because of OPEC, there's enormous amounts of money being wielded to buy influence. And so
right.
it's the ultimate carrot and stick. The United Arab Emirates in particular, but also Saudi Arabia and Kuwait are buying influence and in the media and in academia and in politics, as well as in the military, by being weapons purchasers, buying influence in all of those places, bribing people. And on the other side, you have the people that Islam has infected that lash out violently and threaten the lives of those who dare tell the truth. It's a horrible religion. So here's Mohammedan-loving president of the United States saying, so we reject any suggestion of a class of civilizations. Well, that would be true, because Islam's never been a civilization. So it can't be a class of civilizations, because there is no time in Islam's history where it was ever a civilization. They were just simply barbarians in the first 100 years. There's nothing civilized about the golden era of Islam. It was murderous, destructive, enslaving. It's just a horrible example of probably the worst time in all of human history. And following that, it's never a civilization. The Muslims did not behave in a civilized fashion. Belief in a permanent religious war is the misguided refuge of extremists who cannot build or create anything and therefore peddle only fanaticism and hate. No, it isn't a religious war in the sense of there aren't two different religions combating one another. This is not Christianity versus Islam. It's not Judaism versus Islam. It's not even socialist secular humanism v. Islam. But it is Islam. I mean, one side is 100% engaged in a war on behalf of their religion. The religion was born in a declaration of war, and it will go out conducting war. That's what the Magog War, as you know, is all about. Muslims and their final assault. The war is wholly religious, and there is no end, will never be an end to the Islamic war machine until Yahweh himself stops them. And the Magog War is not stopped by man. It's not stopped by America. It's not stopped by Israel. It's not stopped by the United Nations. The Magog War is stopped by direct intervention from Yahweh himself.
But do you equate, or Now, okay, now I know the Armageddon battle is, but I'm not so sure.
Yahweh says that he sends his spirit and that the perpetrators are annihilated. He speaks of this flood of Islamic terrorists, and through the spirit, he blows them away. And they're all wiped out. Yeah, it's direct intervention by God that brings the conclusion to the Magog War. Now, in the Armageddon War, which is fought three and a half years later, in the Armageddon War, it's Yahweh's return that ends that war. They're really, you know, in one, his spirit blows the Muslims away. And so I think there's probably going to be in the range of 1 to 200 million Muslims killed in the Magog War. And the Armageddon War, they die when Yahweh returns. It's just that they're not enveloped in the set apart spirit garment of light, and the very presence of Yahweh, less diminished, annihilates them. And so they're just annihilated, turned to goo by the energy that he possesses when he returns. So the president here is playing with words when he says, we reject any suggestion of a class of civilizations, because it really isn't the West against Islam. The West has variations of civilization. Western, you can't say democracy, but the Western republics are quite civilized. A lot of immoral activity, a lot of destructive activity, but lots of things have occurred in terms of education, in terms of invention, in terms of manufacturing, in terms of quality of life and prosperity, civilization. That's not the case of Islam. Now, you can't also talk about permanent war. The belief in a permanent religious war is the misguided refuge. Islam has always been at war. It will always be at war. And it is the Islamic war machine that is behind and the motivation of the Islamic State. It is religious war that is being fought in Syria, is being fought in Iraq, and it's only a religious war. It is a religious war that was fought in the Sudan and Somalia. It's a religious conflict in Turkey. It's a religious conflict in Libya. It's a religious conflict in Afghanistan and Pakistan. The Magog War is a religious war. Muslims will continue to do as Muhammad did. They will continue to fight and be engaged in war. It's not the misguided refuge of extremists. It's the bright line of history. It is an irrefutable aspect of Islam. It was born out of war, and it continues to be in war. And to come up with any other conclusion about Islam is to be misguided. It is to be an extremist in the sense of being completely ignorant and irrational. Speaking of those who cannot create anything and who peddle fanaticism and hate, that's an apt definition of Islam. He then said, and it is no exaggeration that humanity's future depends on uniting against those who divide us along fault lines of tribe, sect, race, or religion. There is nobody trying to divide the world on fault lines of tribe. Islam is at war with itself, therefore sect and or religion. Islam is also opposed to race. There is only one religion that is overtly racist. Islam. Now, Christianity is fairly racist and has been overtly racist in its opposition to Jews and Israel. But Islam is a declaration of war against Jews and Israel. And Islam is more anti-Jewish than was Hitler's Mein Kampf. So to talk about humanity's future being about uniting, it isn't. That's not humanity's future. Uniting will be part of humanity's collapse. And so long as there is Islam, there will be a fault line and a war against sect, Shia versus Sunni, and it'll be a religious war against race, against Israel and Jews. He says this is not simply a matter of words. No, I wish it was. I wish it was. I wish that the battlefield was words, but it's not. We've made the battlefield weapons, the United States supplying most of them on both sides. Collectively, we must take concrete steps to address the danger posed by religiously motivated fanatics. Well, if the Islamic State is not Islamic, then how could they be religiously motivated fanatics? Is not the Obaminator contradicting himself here? I mean, he knows that he lied when he said the Islamic State is not Islamic, and now he is acknowledging that he lied, contradicting himself when he said that we must take steps to address the danger posed by religiously motivated fanatics. The Islamic State is religiously motivated. They're fans of Islam. And, you know, for him to say posed by religiously motivated fanatics and not say religiously motivated Muslims is so disingenuous. Because next he says the campaign against extremism. Go to hell, pal. And you are just a rotten piece of crap. Christians aren't out there killing people, saying convert or die, raping little girls, engaged in kidnap and torture. Buddhists aren't. Hindus aren't. Rabbinical Jews aren't. But Muslims are. This is not about extremism or general religion. It's about Islam. It's obvious. Tell the truth.